time peaceful. Gracious, loving, peaceful God, we are thankful. We're filled with gratitude for this day that you have made. We pray that we would choose to rejoice and be glad in it. Thanks for your words which are before us. Prepare us, Lord, with eyes to see and ears to hear, minds to understand, and most importantly, hearts to receive this, your precious, loving, merciful, gracious word. May then the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. If you haven't noticed of late, we live in anxious times. Worry seems to be the emotion du jour, the emotion of the day. And if seeing it about us or on TV or reading it in the paper or hearing the news wasn't enough, the APA, the American Psychiatric Association, ran a poll on 1,000 U.S. residents in 2017, and they found that nearly two-thirds were, quote, extremely or somewhat anxious about health and safety for themselves and their families, and more than a third are more anxious overall than last year, end quote. They also noted that millennials were the most anxious generation. The millennials are those who are living now in their 20s and 30s. In 2018, then, the same poll was repeated. Anxiety was shown to have risen again by another 5%. Millennials were revealed to still be the most anxious generation. That's astounding news, don't you think? Or am I the only one that reads these things and thinks, that's astounding news? And we are raising a generation, and it's too early to poll those who come after the millennials, but we are raising a generation that is more anxious than the generations before it. What's the antidote? I mean, I sit down in the evenings, I can barely stomach the news. That's why I read the news online, so that I can pick and choose what I hear about. But the reality is even when you read news online and pick and choose, there's not a whole lot of stuff out there that doesn't cause one anxiety. This passage that we're in Philippians chapter 4, is Paul's antidote to anxiety. And I say Paul, the apostle, because he wrote it, but more importantly, I believe this is the human antidote to anxiety given to us by the creator of the heavens and earth, and more importantly, the author and perfecter of our very faith. God's peace is the antidote to worldly anxiety. And this is expressed well in verse 7. So if you have your Bibles, you can open to Philippians chapter 4. There's a pew Bible there in front of you if you'd like to open that. This text is also in your bulletin. Looks like many of you have memorized it because you're doing none of those things. So good for you. But when I hear God's word, I like to have it in front of my eyes. And so Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7, if you are following along, Paul says, "The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Peace. Peace. When I say the word, I would guess that you have a different feeling and emotion than the one you feel normally. Think about this word, peace. Shalom is the word that Paul would know. Paul is both Jewish and Roman citizen, and he would know the Jewish understanding of peace, shalom, which is a deep, God-breathed tranquility, peace, wholeness, well-being. And Paul says that this peace that's given to us by God, why? Because it is God's, he owns it, peace. And he's able to give. It transcends all understanding. This is a peace beyond our human understanding. And more importantly, beyond our control and ability. Think about that for a minute. If you've been trying to give yourself peace, and you're frustrated, and it seems now more far off than when you first began, well, take heart. Because God offers a peace that transcends you. You can't control it. You have no ability over it. It's a peace that's given in grace. And this peace that transcends our own ability will guard our hearts and minds. Guard means to protect against debilitating anxiety. Have you ever been in that place of debilitating anxiety? Maybe you just can't get up in the mornings. Maybe just the thought of going outside is too much for you. Or working another day. Or going to school. Whatever it is, we've all been in that place of debilitating anxiety. And God offers the antidote, shalom. And Paul says both that this shalom will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Our hearts, that's the center of our emotions, and our thoughts, which is what Paul means by guarding our minds. And then he's going to jump in now to what that means. He talks about what I am calling a heart's peace. This is the threefold expression of Jewish piety. Did you hear it? There's thanksgiving, prayer, and joy. So in the Jewish faith, when they talked about righteousness, when they talked about being pious before God, they focused on these three things: thanksgiving, joy, and prayer. And so Paul picks up on this. And way back, do you remember? If you have your Bibles, you could flip there. Philippians chapter 1. Way back in Philippians chapter 1, Paul says, I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for you. I always pray with joy. Thanksgiving, prayer, and joy. He picked up on those three Jewish expressions of piety. Peace. Paul then gives three imperatives, exhorting the Philippians to condition their hearts. Did you know that you can condition your heart towards peace? He says, first, rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord. That means to choose joy or to have joy. Joy appears 16 times in the book of Philippians. That's significant, way more than any other book in the Bible. For Paul, joy is important. And by the way, do you remember where Paul is writing this letter from? Where is he? Jail. He's imprisoned in Rome. And yet, he says, rejoice in the Lord. Wait, that doesn't match up, you say? That doesn't add up. How does he have joy when he's incarcerated, when he's in prison for his faith? Well, it's because Paul knows that joy transcends our circumstances. that we are to have joy always, says Paul, whether in prison or free, whether in pain or not in pain, whether we're happy or sad. Joy is to be a choice. The psalmist says, "This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Joy. This is the first mark of the threefold piety of the Jews. And Paul begins with this joy. When I think about joy, I think about my friend who's going to be back on Wednesday, Pastor Corey. I think about joy in him. Not just my joy of seeing his return, and I am very joyous after 12 weeks away. But there is a joy in Corey that transcends circumstances. If you know Corey, you know this. He laughs easy. He finds happiness in all places. When Pastor Corey and I began to lead worship services together here at RLC, it's been a few years back now, we had a member that was very upset at the way we led. A member came back when I was back in this office and sat with both of us and said, "You two are too happy during worship." I'm not making it up. I mean, I wish I were making it up, but I'm not making this up. You're too happy. You have too much fun. It's too much joy in the service. I'm thinking, oh. I said to this member, Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. Maybe especially in worship. When we sing or say, hallelujah, that's with the spirit of joy. Corey lives out joy in the Lord. Paul then gives his second exhortation, his second imperative. So he says, rejoice in the Lord. Number two, he says, let your gentleness be evident to all. This is a gentle forbearance towards others. You know what I'm talking about. There seem to be two kinds of people in life. There are those who bristle against you. Doesn't matter what they do. They just rub you the wrong way. There are those who go through life just kind of, maybe even they find satisfaction or meaning in being rough around the edges. My dad in his job was like that until he retired. But for 55 years, he says, there are those who have headaches and there are those who cause headaches. I cause headaches. I said, God love you, Dad. Let your gentleness be evident to all. This gentleness is found in Jesus because the gentle Lord is near in the person and work of Christ. Peter said it this way. Peter the apostle who lived life with Jesus, who for 3.5 years made huge mistakes with Jesus. But he says in 1 Peter 2, when they hurled their insults at him, who's he talking about? Christ. Christ did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. This is the kind of attitude we take, this attitude of gentleness, if we want peace. If you don't want peace, be the one who causes headaches. Peace won't be yours. But if we live lives that are gentle and live in gentleness, then peace will come. When I think about peace, I think about my friend Lucille Knutson. Lucille died, it's been a couple years already, I can't believe it. She was well into her 90s. Who knew Lucille? Just raise your hand. Anybody knew Lucille? Can I at least get one amen when I say this? Okay, thank you. I know Lutherans, this is a stretch, but come on. Lucille evidenced gentleness, did she not? Wow, that was like six. Fantastic. This is some kind of record. Paul, let's put that in the books. Okay, appreciate it. Yeah, Lucille was gentle. And it wasn't circumstantial. Again, transcended circumstances. By the time Lucille died, she had lost her husband, her only son, and her only daughter, and countless nieces and nephews. But Lucille was always gentle. So Paul says, if you want peace, rejoice. Find joy in the Lord. Let your gentleness be evident to all. And lastly, do not be anxious. This literally means to be free of care. This is where our word careless comes from. It means we don't care about what's going to happen or when it's going to happen or how it's going to happen. This gospel passage from Luke, this is a synoptic, that means this is another expression of Matthew chapter 6. And we just studied a couple months ago the Sermon on the Mount, remember? And in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says in verse 33, "Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you." This is a parallel text. And so Jesus says, consider Solomon and his great wealth and his splendor, but he's nothing compared to the flowers that grow in the fields. But it is God, says Jesus, that clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown in the fire. So how much more then will he clothe you, you of little faith? It seems that faith is required when we seek to be not anxious. But faith in whom? Well, of God, of course, who can provide and does provide for our every need. So, Paul says in conclusion, present your requests to God in prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Joy, prayer, thanksgiving. Think about those three. Joy, prayer, thanksgiving. The antidote to anxiety. Joy, prayer, and thanksgiving. Then Paul launches into the peace of the mind. He's talking now about peace of the heart. He then launches into the peace of the mind. And he says, think about these things. So he moves from a Jewish focus now to a Greco-Roman focus. And the Greeks were and Romans were all about the what? Mind. What do we think? It was all about philosophy. So he says, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, verse 8, think about such things. If we condition our hearts, we focus on joy and prayer and thanksgiving. When we condition our minds, we simply think about those things that are healthy and pure and lovely and admirable. These are concepts borrowed from the Greco-Roman moralism, which in Philippi would be spoken of quite freely. Anxious minds start with anxious thoughts. So Paul is saying, think about what you're thinking about. See, I think Paul, by God's gift, his inspiration of Scripture, Paul is the first cognitive behavioral therapist. Would you agree? Think about that for a minute. When we go to a therapist, what do they tell us? Well, you got to think better. or you've got to act better, and then your emotions will follow. This is what Paul is saying. Think better. In our house, we have negative thoughts, and we call those negative thoughts stinking thinking. I borrowed that from AA, by the way. Stinking thinking. See, Paul is saying when you have stinking thinking, you're going to have anxiety. You're going to get wrapped up in all the world's troubles. So think about what you're thinking about. Think about those things that are pure and admirable and lovely. And also think about those, meaning others, who are gracious and kind and merciful. And then in conclusion, after Paul says, choose joy and prayer and thanksgiving, think about what you're thinking about to condition your mind, he says, put into practice what you have seen in me. Paul is saying, the God of peace is with me because I do these things and will also be with you if you do them as well. We are anxious. The generation now behind all of us, those in their 20s and 30s, are more anxious than we are, and 5% more anxious in 2018 from 2017. I don't know how far that's gone up in 2019. They haven't done a study yet. The antidote to anxiety is God's shalom, his peace. A peace of heart where we find joy in prayer and thanksgiving, and a peace of mind where we deliberately think about what we think about. So the choice is yours. Will you receive the gift of God's peace, or will you continue to live the anxiety of the world around us? Paul makes it clear, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Amen.